there's a train to come. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. Now all you need is faith to hear the diesels hum. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. That's right.
And when Jesus came into Jerusalem on the colt, our scripture says that his disciples cheered. And so many of the crowd claimed to be disciples, cheering, "Hosanna in the highest, hallelujah." But what happened 5 days later? The Hosanna and hallelujahs turned into "crucify him." True disciples of Jesus the Christ. And a Christian disciple is one who is under the teaching and follows the precepts and instructions of their master.
Welcome to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhigh, a broadcast ministry of New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. New Hope Church is dedicated to bringing you sound biblical teaching, the truth of God's Word. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission, all in Jesus Christ. So get ready for your new hope for today.
Hey, we're going to read today from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 29 through 40. This is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Hear now the word of God. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." And so they brought it to Jesus. They threw their cloaks on the colt, and they put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord," they said. "Peace in heaven and glory to the highest. Hosanna in the highest." But some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And he replied, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the very stones will cry out." Thus says the word of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that as your word is proclaimed, that you teach our hearts your wisdom and your knowledge, that we move aside those earthly things from our mind, Lord, and our attention is spiritual, that your still small voice does speak to us, and especially through your word. Speak to our hearts, minds, and souls today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. We've talked about Jesus and his disciples and Jesus making disciples and disciples being disciples. And I gave the example of this tale of two carpenters. So let's look at it this way. There's a master carpenter. And he came to ask two apprentices to build him a table. And he said, here's the manual, and you have as long as you want to build it. Well, the first one thought, okay, this will be easy. 3-4 legs, top, and it's done. And so as he was considering building the table, and he didn't consider it too much really, he visited the master for about an hour each week, sometimes. Barely got through listening to him without falling asleep. He rarely, if ever, consulted his manual. And he only talked to his master when he really needed help. He rarely hung out with the other apprentices, and he more enjoyed going to other functions to do what he liked to do, which was really not making tables. And so after years of going through the same routine, the apprentice built his table. And he did it in haste, and it was basically an old piece of plywood as a tabletop, and he used three mismatched legs, and they even had different lengths on them. And so the apprentice nor the table fulfilled its purpose. Now the second apprentice thought to himself, I need to understand more precisely what the master wants so I can build him something that he truly desires me to build. So apprentice number two went to the same weekly sessions for roughly an hour. And he listened very attentively, because his master had a lot to say. He looked in his instruction manual all the time. He took notes. Every day when he got up, he spoke with his master and he asked him questions, reading the notes that the master left him. His master worked hard at communicating with the apprentice. And so the apprentice would read, he would listen to other apprentices who went through the program. He'd go and he'd talk to other table builders and the intricacies of fine carpentry he wanted to know more about. And day after day, he thought about his master and what his master wanted. And he checked it with his notes. And so after many years of studying the art of table making, he built a great relationship with his master. And he really loved his master. He wanted to make him something that expressed himself and his love for the master carpenter. And so he took his time each day, and he was slowly able to build the table that his master desired for him to build. So you see, in this story, one apprentice was free to make a beautiful table filled and fulfilled with purpose, while the other one was enslaved to his own desires. And he put forth a product that was not what it could have been. Beloved, this is a story of discipleship. And when Jesus came into Jerusalem on the colt, our scripture says that his disciples cheered. And so many of the crowd claimed to be disciples, cheering, "Hosanna in the highest, hallelujah." But what happened 5 days later? The Hosanna and Hallelujahs turned into crucify him for some of the so-called disciples. Of the followers of Jesus, which is different than being a disciple of Jesus, of the followers of Jesus, some were true disciples of Jesus the Christ. And a Christian disciple is one who is under the teaching and follows the precepts and instructions of their master, who walks with Jesus and who grows in love for him, true love. And when that all takes place, the disciple begins to become a disciple maker. I guess my question to you all is, are you a disciple of Christ? The Greek uses the word mathetes. 88% of the 275 occurrences of disciple in the Bible are in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 8, verses 31 and 32 says, if you continue in my word, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In Matthew 16, 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Luke 14:33 says, so then, none of you can be my disciples who does not give up all his own possessions. And John 13:35 says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. See, it's the heart of Jesus. It's the purpose that he came. This whole week that we spend from Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday is the vast majority of what's contained in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. God is communicating with us. God wants you to be committed to his word. That's the desire of his heart. It's him speaking to you. He desires you to be committed to his word. Jesus wants you to deny your selfish motives. Jesus wants you to take up your cross. In other words, the mark of your sacrifices to him. Whatever that may be. Because Jesus wants you to recognize that everything you have comes from him. Our whole breath of life, our whole existence, the atoms in our body and the universe come from God. And perhaps the hardest of all is that Jesus wants you to love one another. The Christian walk of being a disciple of Christ is one of a loving relationship with God. It's a loving relationship, not just haphazardly as we might view it, but in the guidance and counsel and power of the Holy Spirit, walking in the loving obedience exemplified by Jesus to do the will of the Father. The purpose of discipline, of discipleship, is for godliness. And godliness means being more Christ-like, the disciple maker. In 1 Timothy 4:7, we read, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Becoming more like Jesus. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy, toward the end of his life, Paul's life, that is, as he was in prison. 1 Timothy emphasizes church organization and sound doctrine, and he's counseling this young pastor. So after writing about church organization and sound doctrine, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:6, if you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus. nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching that you have followed. You see, the good servant, the good disciple of Jesus Christ is one who exercises the discipline of reading and studying God's word, exercising the discipline of listening to sound biblical teaching, and exercises the discipline of presenting these things that you learn to others. It doesn't stay hidden under a basket. You don't hide your light under a basket. And so Paul puts forth here three spiritual disciplines of the good servant of Christ: reading the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, and presenting the Word of God to others. Now, what overshadows all of that and is intertwined with it all is that the reading, the hearing, and the presenting is all done in love. What did Jesus say were the greatest commandments? Love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the other is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot do the horizontal without the vertical. If your love for God is not there, your love for others will be selfishly motivated. You see it in the world every day. And so what overshadows reading the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, presenting the Word of God is love for God and love for others. So reading the Word of God, this is interesting. Of professing Christians, in a Barna study, only 18% of those in the United States who profess to be Christians claim to read the Bible every day. 23% say they never read the Bible. If you want to be changed, if you understand and your faith is authentic, that you do become a new creation, please don't stop there. That our journey as a disciple of Christ is a wonderful journey. Discipline yourself to read the Bible. It's God's love letter to you. When you read it, know that He's speaking to you. The second part of hearing God's word, well, you have to develop obedience. You develop obedience by hearing. Luke 11:28 says, "But he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it." You can hear and do. If you're a disciple, you hear and you do. You can strengthen faith by hearing. In Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We're called to go and gather together, like we're doing today, to hear. In 1 Timothy 4:13, "Until I come," Paul says, "give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching." And so the idea of hearing the Word of God isn't a passive thing. It's active. It's the Word that comes in through your ears into your mind, that penetrates your heart, that encompasses your being, heart, mind, and soul, so that you can go out in your strength of Christ in you. The third thing that Paul was saying was presenting the Word of God. Reading, hearing, now presenting. Teaching, evangelism, disciple making, in other words. As a good servant, you take what you read in God's word, you digest it, you pray on it, you meditate on it, you discern what you hear, and the Holy Spirit will cross your paths with somebody, and you will be able to present what you know. And that is loving others. There could be no greater love. And presenting the truth of Jesus Christ to somebody else. to your children, to your family, to others in your workplace, wherever the Holy Spirit and whoever the Holy Spirit puts in your path. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. True disciples are prepared for that. They prepare themselves for it. Hearing, reading, presenting, all have a purpose in mind. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, as Paul wrote in 1 Timothy. And godliness is being like Christ. So being a disciple of Christ requires loving spiritual discipline, and loving spiritual discipline leads to a greater relationship and freedom to be more Christ-like. You see that? They intertwine. And so, like our carpenter example, one was enslaved to his own desires, and he was limited on what he could to produce. While one was disciplined in building his identity to his master and was free to produce what the master expected. The first did it with no love. The second did it with much love. Do you truly want to be a disciple of Christ? Do you? To follow Christ and His Word because you love Him. To deny yourself for a greater relationship with God. To sacrifice for the Lord out of your love for Him, not out of duty. To give everything in love for God. And truly desire to love others in the church with a true agape, unconditional, altruistic, selfless love of Christ. And so, beloved, ask the Holy Spirit to help you discipline yourself to be a loving disciple of Jesus Christ. One who is under the teaching, one who follows the precepts and instructions of Jesus your Master. Building a superb table of your life out of love for Christ. So that you truly are able to shout, Hosanna! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Disciples. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we ask that you do help us. Lord, we need the help because we often fail. We need your power in us that the Holy Spirit does give to us if we listen. And so open our ears and open our eyes, Lord, that they be focused heavenward, that our hearts see you. So that that changed life that we have, Lord, because we are not what we were, continues to grow in love for Jesus. And we as the church here, this small church of New Hope, become effective disciples, able to go out beyond the walls of this church, always prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the will of God the Father, we pray, all of God's children say, Amen.
Thank you for listening to New Hope for Today with Pastor Tom Belhi and New Hope Church ECO in Washington, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church home, please come and visit this Sunday at 11 a.m. For more, check out newhopechurcheco.org or call 724-222-7490. If you've been encouraged by today's message, please prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner at newhopechurcheco.org. Your one-time tax-deductible gift or regular monthly support is greatly appreciated and will help keep this program on the air, bringing new hope to the Pittsburgh region. Love God, love others. That's what New Hope Church is all about. New hope, new life, new family, new mission. All in Jesus Christ. Be sure to tune in next week for more New Hope for Today. Until then, may God bless you.